Turn with me, if you will, please, to the book of Numbers. The book of Numbers. And those of you who have been praying for Aunt Rose, she is doing much better, for which we are thankful. She had a procedure done yesterday that has taken care of the bleeding that she was having, which was causing her to be considerably weakened. And the fact the doctor said if she had not been brought in, she probably would have died. So very thankful for the Lord's hand in interceding in her behalf. And we're thankful that now she's on the road to recovery. In fact, they said in a couple of days she'll be able to go home. So we're thankful to the Lord for your prayers for her. Numbers chapter 6, please. Numbers chapter 6. And I'm going to read a few verses that we're all very familiar with. Starting in verse 22. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Let's pray together. Father, we acknowledge again before you that this is indeed your precious and holy word. And we also acknowledge that we need the help of thy Spirit if we are to ever understand and ever apply the things properly to our own lives. So we ask for your guidance. We ask for your help this morning for both speaker and hearer alike, that the things that are shared might be truly profitable for us, that we might be built up and encouraged in our holy faith. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. In many denominational churches, I have heard this benediction, if you will, recited often. At the end of every message or at the end of every congregational meeting, the minister may stand up in front and raise his hands and repeat these words, which I have no problem with, by the way, just making an observation. Blessing the congregation of the people. Now, following that pattern that they find here in the book of Numbers, and we recognize that this coming week is Yom Kippur. And during Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, as every week in every synagogue across the world, these words will be repeated oft. As the blessing is given from the holy word by the rabbis in this current age, before by those priests, God gave this word, gave this blessing, gave this benediction, if you will, to Moses to give to Aaron so that he could use it to bless the people. And across this nation and across this world, week after week, Sabbath after Sabbath, Sunday after Sunday, these words are spoken. And it really carries a pretty powerful message, doesn't it? These little phrases carry a very powerful message. Lyrically, it is in three stanzas. As you are aware, in Hebrew, oftentimes, when Hebrew is trying to emphasize something, it will repeat itself. And it will build in form. And that's what we find here. The first part of the blessing is three words. The second part is five words. The third part is seven words. In Hebrew, so it builds on itself from each stanza. And each stanza is broken into two parts, as we shall see as we move along. So, it is beautiful. I don't know if you've ever heard this blessing chanted by a rabbi. You ought to do it. You can get online and go to, just Google in this blessing, or Google in number 6 or whatever, and you'll find somewhere along there a recording of a rabbi or rabbis chanting this blessing. And it's really a beautiful thing to listen to. I don't know if you enjoy that kind of thing, but I really do enjoy listening to Jews and rabbis as they chant parts of the Word of God, as they chant some of the Psalms, as they chant prayers to God. It's something musical and something beautiful about it. But if you go, you can listen to it chanted by the rabbi. It was to be a function of the priest, given to Moses to give to Aaron so that the priests could bless the people of Israel and pronounce this blessing on Israel at various times. And when God did that, when the people blessed the people of Israel, when God blessed the people of Israel through this, He was making those people His own. He was declaring them the blessing that these people are mine. They belong to me. They are my possession. They belong to me. It was spoken each day after the incense was offered in the temple. When the officiating priest would enter into the holy place to offer the incense, when he came out, he would offer this blessing and the officiating priest would join in them. And actually they would create in their hands a certain sign that they would make and join their hands together and lift them up and offer this blessing upon the children of Israel. Beautiful blessing. A beautiful blessing. I think it may have been the reason why when the father of John the Baptist came out from offering the incense and he could not speak, he was not able to offer up this blessing as he normally would have done. So anyway, perhaps that's true, perhaps it's not true. But the first part of this blessing goes like this. It's three words. Bless Yahweh, keep. By translation, bless Yahweh, keep. Which is translated, the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you. Now, grammar-wise, while you look at this, and some of you are interested in grammar, some of you aren't so interested in grammar, and it doesn't really matter to you, but I think it's important that we understand some of these things when we're doing an expositional study of the Word of God, that we understand sometimes the grammar that is used, in especially in portions like these. Now, here, in all of its parts, the jussive is used. And the idea behind that being, we understand that that can have all kinds of different ideas and all kinds of shades of meaning and all kinds of nuances that go with it. It can simply mean a wish. It can simply mean a desire. It can mean a prayer. It's similar to the optative in the Greek mood of the Greek verbs in expressing a wish, expressing a desire. But here, it is very strongly put. So that some of the scholars say, and I think they are correct, and I'm sure they would be very delighted to know that I thought they were correct. But I think they are correct in saying that these justices are so strong that it is more than just a wish. It is more than just a prayer. It is a statement of what will be. It is a statement of what will be. Something that is a fact. Something that is the case. This is what the Lord will do. This is what the Lord will do. So when these blessings are read by the priest, or when these blessings are chanted by the rabbi, it is the idea of the outcome of the atonement, the outcome of obedience to the law, and following the teachings of the law, the outcome of that would be that God would indeed bless and keep. God would shine His face on them. God would be gracious to them. God would give them peace. It is the promise of God to the faithful Israelites. The promise of God that He would indeed do the things that He promises in this blessing. It is a concrete reality of what God would do. Now, when we look at these, from where we stand now, we can see these things, this three-part blessing, in an eschatological way as well. Now, to the people of Israel, it had a very present reality. It had a very present meaning. But it also has meaning and purpose for us in the church today. And I think that is that eschatological viewpoint that you can see in this blessing, as it points not only to what God would do for the people of Israel when they were obedient to the law, because we recognize that it had to be in obedience to the law, right? That this blessing would come. Had to be in obedience to keeping the things which God had given to them, right? Because if we read in the book of Exodus, there was a whole list of things that God would do, a whole list of blessings that God would pour out on His people if they were obedient to Him, if they followed His law. These are the things that I will do. And if they were disobedient, there was also a whole list of curses that would happen to them if they disobeyed the law, if they disobeyed the things that were contained in the law. And we recognize that God was very long-suffering with the people of Israel. We recognize that God, as I've said before, and I hope I speak this reverently, that God has a very long rope, that He will let people go a long way out before He pulls and stops you. Didn't you ever, watch a dog on a long chain? And somebody comes by that's irritating them? And they run at them, knowing they got that chain around their neck, but they still run at them and get right to the end of the chain, and bam, the neck gets yanked back. God is, I always have to rephrase things. Trying to speak reverently. God has a very long chain, and He lets people go a long distance, but He will not let them go beyond. So it was with the people of Israel. Do we see the patience of God with Israel? Do we see the patience of God with Israel as we read through the Old Testament? Do we? One person has noticed that. God is long-suffering with the people of Israel as He is with us. Is a long-suffering God. So when they were in obedience to the things of God, these three phrases of this blessing were guaranteed to the people of God. This is what God would do if they were faithful, if they remained faithful to the Lord. Now these blessings had that current reality, current value to those people at that time, and a future fulfillment in another form in those who came to know the Lord as their Lord and Savior. And we'll see that presently. The Lord, Jehovah, is the center subject of this whole lesson in all of His parts. He is the subject of each one of these blessings. He is the central subject in each one of these blessings. One has said, He alone is the one who does the blessing, and even under the old order, the sons of Aaron merely transmitted God's blessings to the people. And the grammar of the text bears that out. They had the responsibility of telling to the people what God was going to do. It was God's work. He was going to bless and keep them. He was going to bless and keep them. Now, some have said those are very, bless and keep are kind of abstract terms. Well, I would kind of disagree in this context that bless and keep are abstract. I think they're very concrete terms. I think they're very concrete terms. For it is indeed what God was going to do. They have different expressions, and they might express a little bit differently things that the Lord is going to do for the people of Israel, but they're concrete in that God says He will do them. Let's look at the word bless. The bless, the barak, for example, can mean to kneel. That's one of the meanings of barak, to kneel. But it also can simply mean to give. It can also simply mean to present something as a gift. And so we might combine those two things and say that barak has this idea of presenting a gift while on your knees. Presenting a gift while on your knees. Offering up a gift in a humble position on your knees. Barakah means to present a gift. To present something on your knees. Now, bless can also mean to simply speak well of someone. To say something kind to someone. And that's where we get it in the Greek, where it comes from, the word from which we get eulogy. Eulogia. It has the idea of eulogy is to speak well of, right? Right? Okay. When you have a eulogy, when you have a eulogy at someone's funeral, I have never, ever sat in a eulogy and heard anyone say, you know, this guy was a real bum. He was never pleasant. Nobody liked him. No. The guy could have been a real bum. But the people will say, oh, he was a lovely, lovely man. Everyone just thought the highest of him. Because a eulogy is meant to speak well of someone. And when we bless, especially when we think of it in terms of the New Testament, we speak well of. It means to speak well of. When we bless God, the picture that we get, at least I get in my own mind, of blessing God is to be, in a sense, kneeling before God, lifting up our words of praise and our words of thanksgiving unto Him. Lifting up our blessing unto God. Blessing God. Giving to Him, as it were, a gift from our hearts to Him. Whatever that may be, whether that blessing that we're bringing up to Him and lifting up to Him is our lives, our fortunes, our words, a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto His name or praise unto His name, we on bended knee, like the wise men of old, present to God gifts. We bless God on bended knee. By the Lord Jesus Christ, we offer up to Him the fruit of our lips, as it were, on our bended knees. We worship Him. We exalt Him. We speak well of Him. Is that part and parcel of your daily existence as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ? Day by day, do you bless His holy name? Day by day, do you offer up, as it were, on bended knees, kind and good words of our Savior to Him, to the Father, of His Son? Do we do that? One amen would be helpful. Do we do that? Oh, good. I thought no one did that. I know you're not a very responsive group in here. I know that from past experiences. That's okay. I will try to make you responsive. But here, it is Yahweh giving the blessing. Here it is Yahweh giving the blessing. It's very easy for us to comprehend us on bended knee, lifting up a gift of praise, a gift of our lives to God. But here it is Yahweh, it is God Most High, who is now the one offering this gift. It is a blessing coming from Him to us. Now, some scholars have said, and I don't necessarily agree with this, I think they've gone a step too far in this, because some will speak of the Hebrew, of course, speaking in concrete terms, which they often do. although they do use an awful lot of hyperbole, and they have a really interesting way of describing things from time to time, oftentimes it speaks in very concrete kind of terms. And so I read one scholar, who translated this verse this way. He said, Yahweh will kneel before you presenting gifts and will guard you with a hedge of protection. I think that takes the concrete a bit too far. Now, but although it would show to us Yahweh the Son, who in humility came into this world and as God incarnate in the flesh knelt down and washed the feet of his disciples in great humility. God humbling himself, becoming a man, entering into this world and washing the disciples' feet. I cannot grasp the Lord of glory bent over washing disciples' feet. That is amazing humility. I cannot grasp, as much as I try to understand that action, that parable in action. I cannot understand it. Do you? There's many in this room that do, and that's good. But I have a hard time grasping that reality. Without question, the Lord here in number 6 is giving the blessing. He here is giving. He is giving something special to his people. It is a gift from him, as it were, to them. Coming from his very hand to them. He is enriching their lives by his very presence among them. Now we recognize, as I stated earlier, that this does have some eschatological parts to it as well. And what do I mean by that? I mean here in the church today, we have received blessing from his hand. And the blessing that we have received from his hand in no way depends on how well we have performed. The blessing from his hand depends not on whether we have kept the law or not kept the law. The blessing is from his hand based on the finished work of his Son at Calvary. Based on the fact that we at one point in our lives recognized our sinful condition and reached out to our Savior, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleansed us from all sin, and the grace of God that brought salvation, which appeared to all men, came into our lives and saved us. And now we can hear the words, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He has blessed us. Now, is that contingent on how well we have performed? No. It is his promise to us. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ours by grace, apart from works. So the blessing that would come to the people of Israel, repeated by the priests week after week, day after day, in the temple of old, and even today, through the rabbis chanting of this beautiful blessing, it was contingent still on them, but eschatologically, it is ours already in Christ Jesus. Has he blessed you? Are you blessed? Do you experience and feel that blessing? Yes, we do. We do. How wonderful it is to be blessed. How wonderful it is to have experienced that blessing. from our Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that's an adjective describing God. That's describing Him. He is the Blessed One. He is the Blessed One. He is the one to whom we should give our adoration. The one whom we should adore. And He has blessed us. He has blessed us. And the Greek form that is used there is the aorist tense. So it's the aorist active tense. And that God has done this. It's as if it is the aorist really is one of those hard ones to kind of explain, but it really doesn't deal with time so much. It's not really past, present, future. It's more of a statement of fact. It has this idea of this happened. It happened. It occurred. Sometimes it occurs at a definite point in time. Sometimes it's seen as a past tense. But it's the idea that it's occurred. He has blessed us. It has occurred. It's in the active voice. It was done by God the Father. He blessed us. With every spiritual blessing, every benefit. He has provided for us all things that pertain to life and godliness in His Son. All things given to us through the Son. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. God the Father has bestowed His blessing on us who have believed. We who are in Christ Jesus. Not based on our works, not based on our performance, but based on the works of His Son. Based on the finished works of His Son, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. The second half of this blessing is He will keep them. Now I'm looking up at the clock and I'm noticing and recognizing that I'm never going to get through this blessing. I'm never going to get through all 3 points of this blessing, but we will try. I am from New England, and New Englanders know how to talk very fast, and I can talk very fast. Whether you can hear very fast or not is another question, but I can talk very fast. So put on your seatbelts and we'll see how far we get. But the second half of this blessing is He will keep. Not only does He promise to the people of Israel that He will bless, but He will keep. He will protect them. He will put a hedge around about them. If they are obedient to Him, He will protect them from their enemies. He will protect them from the evil one. He will be their guardian and protector in all things. That's the promise of God to the people of Israel in obedience. When they are obedient, He will be their protector. Whoever touches Israel touches the apple of His eye. He will protect. You see this blessing. Did I say this earlier? I don't think I did. This blessing comes with the Abrahamic covenant, and it comes with the Levitic covenant. There's a sense in which this blessing is based on the Abrahamic covenant, which is unconditional. Because unto this day, even though Israel rebelled, even though Israel walked away from God and worshiped other idols, has God completely forsaken Israel and cast them out forever? No. Will God yet bless Israel? Yes. Is he who touches Israel or harms Israel, do they still touch the apple of His eye? Yes. So there's a sense in which this blessing is unconditional. But then there's that sense, as we have already stated, that is very conditional. Very conditional on the actions of the people of Israel. They are kept. They are kept.
if we were to read, if we were to take the time, and I really would have liked to, but it were really at 6 minutes till, to read Psalm 121, you'll see the promises of protection that God gave to his people Israel. This is what I will do. This is what I will do.
But we remember as well, if we will turn, if you want to turn to 1 Peter, we remember as well that eschatologically it had a forward look. A forward look to what God would do for us. In 1 Peter 1, we read these verses. Starting in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last day. Two things here that are kept in a sense. One is the inheritance. The inheritance which is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ and will inherit all things in Christ and with Christ. This inheritance he talks about here, which is undefiled, unspoiled, it does not decay, its color never fades. It says it reserved in heaven for us. It is reserved. And that is a perfect passive. It's a perfect tense with a passive voice. And the idea of the perfect tense, in the Greek at least, is the idea that it is an action that has taken place in the past, an action that is completed in the past, but the results and the fruits and the evidence of it continue on into the present time. It is reserved for you. And it's passive in that you did not reserve it. You did not do it. It was done for you or done to you. You have an inheritance. You have an inheritance that's reserved. God is the one who's reserved it. He began back there. But the evidence of it and the idea of it is that it continues to be reserved even up until this present time for you. It is kept for you. It is reserved for you. It is yours without question. But then he goes on to say, and we really should spend more time there, but we cannot, who are kept by the power of God. Literally, it means to guard. It means to put a garrison about. It means to guard you. The Lord has placed a guard around you and around me. Well, what do we mean by that? Our salvation is absolutely secured. Our salvation is absolutely secured. You are kept by the power of God. Our inheritance is being guarded. It's being reserved. He has put his eye upon you and he's keeping you secure that nothing can take it away from you. Is there anything greater, my brothers and sisters, than the power of God? Thank you. There is nothing greater than the power of God. What keeps you secure? The power of God. How secure are you? As secure as his power. You are kept. You are kept. The Lord bless you and keep. And for us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, those are concrete realities. We are blessed. We are kept. And nothing can separate us ever again from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. It is wonderful.
It is wonderful. We are blessed. the blessings of God the Father to us, the bride of his beloved Son. Christ in his high priestly prayer in John 17 says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep through your own name those whom you have given to me, that they may be one as we are one." And the Father answered the prayer of his Son. And we are kept. We are kept by the power of God. And he would go on to pray, "And I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one." Protected by God Almighty. Protected by God Almighty. The blessing of the Father to us. Wonderful. 12 o'clock. And all is not well. We will have to save the other parts of this blessing for another time, where we see in the second part of this blessing the blessing of the Son. And we see in the third part of this blessing the blessing of the Spirit of God. The triune God blessing the people of Israel. The triune God blessing you and I and the church of Jesus Christ. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's wonderful to be blessed. It's wonderful to belong to Him. And it's wonderful to know that my eternal security does not depend on me. It does not depend on how well I perform, but depends on the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Shall we pray? Father, we give you thanks. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your keeping of us. Thank you, Lord, that your promises are always yea and amen. Thank you that even though these words spoken to your people Israel so many years ago, you have not ever forgotten them. And you will one day restore them again. But Father, for us who know you now in this special dispensation of the church, we are so very thankful to know your Son, to know our sins are forgiven, to know that we have a hope beyond this life. Oh, Father, we give you thanks, we give you praise, and we bless your holy name. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.